Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Florida State Basketball. This is your host, Nick Andre. Once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope that everyone's doing good. Hope everyone is ready for the weekend. We got a lot of dope things happening this weekend. A lot more hoops. We got a big fight coming up. If you guys know me, I'm never going against Tank Davis. And I'm always going to put my money against him just playing. I don't actually gamble. Like, I'm not a gambler. I'm actually scared to gamble, actually, because I'm afraid. I'll be real. I have bad luck. So if I were to ever gamble, if I put all my money on somebody, I'm afraid I'm going to lose. I'm just going to be real. But I'm excited about this weekend's fight. I'm excited about all the hoops that's going to be happening this weekend, whether it's NBA, men's college, women's college, you name it. I'm just excited for everything. I know that everybody's been missing me. I know that I've had a couple people DM me on Twitter asking me where I've been, because it's been a little over 2 weeks since the last episode. And to tell the truth, I had some technical difficulties. I had to buy new equipment that just actually came in today. I thought it was going to come in yesterday, which is Thursday, because I'm actually recording this on Friday. Thought it was going to come in yesterday, but fortunately didn't. But it just came in today, so that's why we are here. Sorry for the wait in between episodes, but we are here and we are looking to finish the season strong. We got a lot to talk about, honestly, especially with the season winding down. The women's team, they only have one more game this Sunday. The men's team, they have three more games, including Saturday's game against Duke. So the season has been, it has been a journey. It has definitely been a journey, honestly, man. Like, when you think about just the beginning, like, I think the season started, I think, November 4th or 5th, one of those dates. And now we're actually here to the last game and the last three games of the regular season. Like, it's crazy to think that the ACC tournament is really about to begin. But, hey, we got a lot to talk about, man. You know, I'm not going to dwell too much about, like, the journey of the season, because I want to talk about a couple games that happened over the past week or so. First, we're going to start with the women's team. I know you guys want to talk about what happened in South Bend. We're definitely going to get into that without question. You know I'm going to dive into that. However, I want to give this team some praise, because we got a team of dogs on this roster. So if you've been living under a rock and you haven't been keeping up with the basketball team, the women's basketball team per se, over the past maybe couple weeks or almost couple weeks, we didn't have our backcourt, which is Tania Latson and Amara Gordon, who were both on injury protocol. Tania missed the previous three games before this matchup against Notre Dame. And then Amara Gordon, of course, missing the last two as well. And that was all the information I got. There was people that were asking me, like, what the specific injuries were. People thought that I was withholding information. Trust me, I was not. I was told that they were on injury protocol, and that was that. I don't know the specifics of either one of their injuries. I know Omaria had a hard fall in the Miami game, so I think that honestly might have played a role in why she missed the past couple games. But missing both Tania Latson and Omaria Gordon, especially like at this stage in the season where the regular season is coming down to the wire and teams are preparing for the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament, you know, it's kind of a scary situation if you ask me. You know, it's kind of like, I guess you could say it's like the wrong time for your top players to get hurt, but that's neither here nor there. But look, at the end of the day, the reason why I want to give this team praise is because they found a way to win even despite not having their backcourt. First, we can start with the win against Pitt, which was last Thursday. That was when everybody found out that both players were not going to be available. So Coach Brooke Wyckoff made the adjustments, started Hyane Dos Santos, started Amaya Bonner. And it was a struggle to begin with. I mean, especially for a player like Hyane, you know, that was her first start with Florida State. And there had to have been immense pressure on her to, you know, be the lead guard for the team and be able to initiate the offense, be able to feed KK Timpson with the entry pass, just being able to feed open shooters. But I give her a lot of credit. You know, she had a pretty solid performance, did what she did. And of course, you know, she got production as far as, you know, being able to be a ball handler, especially with the production of both Sydney Bowles and Amaya Bonner, who also helped her from that aspect, bringing the ball to the floor, initiating the offense, the half-court offense, being able to move the ball and everything. So That was, especially to begin the game, that was a rough start, honestly, because I can't remember the score exactly. I think it was tied at 12 or 14 at the end of the first quarter of that matchup. But they were able to find a way to win that game. KK had another strong performance, being able to lead the way. And that's what you expect. I mean, KK Timms, especially with both Taniya Lassett and Omari Gordon unavailable, of course KK is going to be the focal point of the offense. And of course it was necessary to be able to get her involved, especially on the low block, and especially you being able to feed her with the basketball. And she definitely had a strong performance. Then you dive into the next game, which was this past Sunday against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was ranked 20th, I believe, and the odds were in their favor. They're at home, they're fully healthy. We're not fully healthy, so you would think with a team like Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech has played well all season long. Like, I think that's a team not only in the ACC but in the country that has not gotten talked about a lot, honestly. But yeah, heading into that matchup, they were definitely the favorites to win that one. But once again, your beloved Florida State women's basketball team showed resilience, being able to go on the road and win against a ranked team without their backcourt. Like, that's flat out incredible. Credit goes to Sydney Bowles. Sydney Bowles was the star of the show in that matchup. 32 points, shot 11 to 23 from the floor in that matchup. Sydney Bowles, like, one thing that I love about Sydney Bowles is she has the utmost confidence. I don't know if I've necessarily touched on that. I mean, I've talked about Sydney Bowles a lot of times, but like, Sid, one thing that stands out is that when she has the green light to score or get a shot up, she's going to take advantage of every opportunity. And it doesn't matter what type of game that she has. She could have a game where she just lights out and she can't miss, or she may have another game where she is not shooting as efficient. But the one thing about her is that she's always going to be confident whenever getting a shot up. And this performance was just an indication of that. I mean, especially being a lead guard, because the coaching staff did make the adjustment. Hyane was not the starting point guard for the game. They ended up inserting Carla Viegas, who also was coming off of a really good game against Pitt, honestly. And then, of course, had a really strong performance against Georgia Tech in this matchup as well. But yeah, I mean, Sydney Bowles had the task of being the lead guard in this matchup against Georgia Tech, and she definitely answered the call. I think her shot creation was really great. She was able to show touch around the mid-range. Also had a couple of turnaround shots, and then of course the 3-point shot was just also effective as well. So of course KK Thompson also had another strong performance, but Sydney Bowles having her best game arguably of her college career, 32 points, that was really big there. So two big wins without your starting backcourt, especially leading into this game that just happened this past Thursday against Notre Dame. That was really good because that was definitely a confidence booster. And yes, heading into the matchup against Notre Dame, it was still uncertain whether Taniya or Mario would play. But even if they weren't able to play in that matchup, the team still had momentum on their side, and they still had confidence heading into that matchup, especially after winning the last two games. I mean, technically the last three games if you want to count the Miami game, but Omari did play in that matchup. But particularly the past two games, or the previous two games against Pitt and Georgia Tech without their backcourt. So yeah, that definitely leads us into Thursday. South Bend, like I said, even heading into the day, it was still uncertain whether Taniya Latson or Omari Gordon would play, as like I said, both dealing with injuries. But we got the announcement like right before the game that they would start. And that definitely lifted a lot of Florida State fans' is like hearts, honestly, because Notre Dame, let's just be real, they're one of the best teams in the country. They're definitely one of the best teams in the country. Have arguably the best backcourt duo in the country with Hannah Hidalgo and Olivia Miles. They proved it all season long, honestly. I know that they were coming off of a tough loss against NC State in overtime this past Sunday, or excuse me, double overtime this past Sunday, but Notre Dame is still a team that puts fear in a lot of teams' hearts because of how well they play on both ends of the floor. Like, they run such a fluid offense, with their ball movement, and they have so many great contributors on the end of the floor. And then, of course, defensively, like, they are stifling on the end of the floor, being physical, being able to get up in you, especially, with the guards guarding the perimeter. Like, they are so effective on both ends of the floor that you have to come into every matchup against them ready and prepared. Now, they did have the odds. The odds were definitely in their favor in this matchup. They were a minus 16.5 point favorite to win this matchup. 16.5. Now, I don't know if that I don't know if that came about because people didn't know if Tanaya and Amari didn't play, but the fact that people had us losing by 16 or more, it's just honestly insane to me, honestly. But that's neither here nor there. And look, I give credit to them. I mean, we can just dive right into the game. Notre Dame got off to a really strong start. Florida State slow. Yes, Florida State had a really slow start. And I guess you could tell it was still like Tanaya and Omari are still trying to create a feel. Like you can tell, Tanaya was trying to get some possessions. Trying to score around the mid range, trying to score around the rim. But shots just weren't falling. I think Omari had a couple threes as well in the first quarter, but shots just weren't falling in the first quarter. But I think it was just an indication of, I think that Florida State just did not know how to overcome that zone defense of Notre Dame. And I was tweeting about it throughout most of the game. Like, in order for them to really find ways to score against this Notre Dame defense, they need to move the ball. They need to have screens for the guards to be able to create opportunities for themselves and for others, whether it's playing in the pick and roll, whether it's, playing in the pick and pop, whether you have a forward being able to set a high ball screen, and then of course then pop out to the 3-point line to have an open opportunity. Like, you have to find different ways to beat this Notre Dame zone with your efficient half court offense, whether it's ball movement, whether it's screening. Just finding these open opportunities was very key, and I think that they struggled with that in the first quarter. But something switched. Something switched. Notre Dame went up 29-14. Brooke called a timeout, and then after that, it was an instant switch that just happened. The first play after the timeout, KK Dempsey gets an easy lane, which honestly, I mean, that was good for her because she didn't score at all in the first quarter, and she had some good looks around the rim, but they just weren't able to fall. So once she was able to see her first shot fall, I think that was pretty much the change in everything. And then Sydney Bowles had two threes. And then that was like the leading factor, honestly. And the next, Florida State has the lead like midway to late second quarter. Carla Villegas came into the second quarter, knocked down a couple threes as well. Next thing you know, after being down 29-14, Florida State is on its 30-11 run to end the half. They were up 44-40 at the end of the first half after being down 15 with around 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. Like, talk about a turnaround. And it wasn't even just offense, honestly. It was the defensive end as well. It was like after that timeout in particular, the team just went into a different gear and they just found a way to just stick together and play together and just overcome that adversity. And as they overcame that adversity, that led even to the second half. They went up by 10, 67-57 to end the third quarter. Notre Dame did go on a strong run to begin the fourth quarter. They cut the lead down to one, but these are situations where your best players shine. Tanaya Lotson, in her first game back, didn't shoot the ball well. She shot 7 of 20 from the floor. She had 23 points in this matchup. And I thought she had some really good looks, honestly, especially throughout the first half. They just weren't able to fall, honestly. And I guess maybe that's rust, especially, Tanaya missed nearly 2 weeks of action as she was recovering from her injury. So you can say that's rust because, because I mean, like I said, I mean, like, these are shots that Tanaya normally makes, especially around the mid-range, especially around the basket. Like, those were shots that Tanaya made. But the one thing that Tanaya is always going to do, and that's one thing that you can rely on, it's her attacking the rim, finding higher percentage shots inside. And that's exactly what she did in the fourth quarter of this matchup. It wasn't her settling, it wasn't her taking ill-advised shots. She was continuing to put pressure on the defense, especially understanding just how Notre Dame was really, really in foul trouble throughout most of the night. Like, I know Maddie Westbrook, I believe, had about three, four fouls, especially like in the third quarter. So she understood that her putting pressure on the defense, finding ways to score around the rim, finding ways to get to the free throw line, that was going to put pressure on the defense, and that was going to create opportunities for Florida State to extend their lead. So that was a classic Tanaya Latson performance in the fourth quarter. Just her putting the team on her back, understanding like, hey, we have momentum on our side, we have this lead. There's no way in hell we are leaving South Bend without a win, especially with this lead that we created, especially with this momentum that we created. Because I'm just gonna be honest. Like, I think once Florida State got the lead, and especially once they continued to build on that lead in the third quarter, they sucked all the energy out of the building for Notre Dame fans. And not only that, they took Notre Dame out of the game mentally, because you started to see Notre Dame take a lot of bad plays, especially Hannah Hidalgo in particular, forcing the issue, not playing as effective on the offensive end. And that played a role, honestly, because I think Notre Dame, like I said, they were able to make a strong run in the fourth quarter to cut the lead to one, but they just were not able to fully recover. And I guess you could say a lot of that's maturity because, I mean, these players are still young. Like Hannah's a sophomore, so, you know, she still has a lot of room to grow. But I think just Florida State just continuing to dominate, just being able to capitalize off of the run that they had in the second quarter, Notre Dame really didn't have an answer for that for the most part, honestly. And when you look at this game, this was, I mean, look, I know I highlighted Tania, but this was just an overall team effort, an overall team win. Like, it's not just one player, it's not just two players being able to lead the way. Like, they did not come out of South Bend with a win without playing an overall team game. We can talk about Mikayla Timpson at 22 points to 17 rebounds. Like I said, slow start in the first quarter, wasn't able to capitalize off of the easy opportunities, but from second quarter on, she was efficient, you know, just scoring around the rim, you know, being able to grab extra opportunities on offense, you know, just being able to accept the challenge of going up against players like Leah Tukeing, players like Maddie Westbell, players like Kate Koval, and others, you know, who were defending her. Just being able to accept those challenges and being able to score at a high level, and then, of course, rebound at a high level. Mikayla Timpson is just continuing to prove to us why she's an elite center, one of the best bigs in the country, honestly. And I've been tweeting about it. I've been talking about it even on here as well. If you ask me, she's a first round WNBA draft pick. There's no other way around it, honestly, because I feel like there's no other big, respectfully, in this draft that works as hard or even is as skilled as Mikayla Timpson. I mean, you could talk about players like Kiki Iriafin and then a couple other bigs, but Mikayla Timpson deserves her respect, honestly. And I feel like, especially in this type of matchup against one of the top teams in the country, and she was able to show out in this and like with the performance like this, put some respect on Mikayla Timpson. Like, and I'm glad that she had this performance, because I think people were not familiar with how great of a player that she was. And this matchup in particular put a lot of eyes on her. So shout out to KK. You know, this was a really strong performance. Another player I could talk about, Carla Villegas, had 12 points, shot 4-7 from the floor. What more can I say about Carla Villegas, man? She is a dangerous sniper on the floor. Like, and it's not even just off of, like, catch and shoots. It's not even just off of her movement. Like, she also has been able to show her shooting ability off the dribble, honestly. I mean, I'm not necessarily talking about this matchup in particular, but even in other matchups, especially over the past couple weeks. But, like, Carla's three-point shooting, especially in the second quarter to open the lead, and then, of course, in the third quarter as well, they were huge. And she stepped up when the team definitely needed her, honestly. I know that she wasn't as strong defensively because there were some plays where she was guarding Hannah Hidalgo, and of course, Hannah Hidalgo was a lot quicker than her, and she was getting beat. But her offense played a huge role, and it was really needed, especially with Tania struggling, you know, Omaria not really having the strongest performance offensively. You needed one of the guards of the wings to step up, honestly, and it was definitely Carla Villegas, so give credit to her. Another player that I also want to highlight, too, because I don't know if she's necessarily being talked about enough in this matchup, because she played really well in this matchup, and that's Snoop Turnage. Didn't score in this matchup at all. Had 5 rebounds, but Snoop did pretty much almost everything that didn't show in the box score. It was the playmaking, it was the defense, you know, because she's a very versatile defender, especially with her size and her wingspan, being able to guard multiple positions and then, of course, hold her own. And on top of that, her rebound as well. Like I said, I mean, you know, had 5 rebounds in this matchup. So Snoop was doing a little bit of everything in this matchup that didn't score, that didn't show in the box score. And I think that her versatility and her impact really disrupted Notre Dame, especially on the defensive end, honestly. So give credit to Snoop Turner. Like I said, I mean, I know that she didn't have the strongest performance when you look at the box score, but just when you watch the game in itself, like, you could see the type of impact that she had, which is why she was on the floor during certain stretches of the game, especially down the stretch, you know, in crunch time. So, like I said, I mean, I know that the highlight has been on Tania, especially with the terrific fourth quarter that she did have. However, this was an overall team game, honestly. And this is something to build on, honestly. I mean, you know, being able to beat a team like Notre Dame, who is many people's favorites to win the national championship this year, this is really big. And I'll be real, this is our get back, too, because if you remember last year, They came to Tallahassee. They beat us in double overtime. So this is pretty much our get back, honestly. But I can't tell you guys enough how proud I am of this team. You know, this team has been playing exceptional basketball, especially over the past couple of weeks. Just showing that dog mentality and just showing how good of a team and how much they have improved as the season has progressed, honestly. I know that it's been a roller coaster. I know that they've had a lot of big wins, and I know that they've had a lot of tough losses. But just this certain stretch alone, these past three games, Pitt, Georgia Tech, and recently Notre Dame, they've shown so much resilience, so much fight, just the ability to overcome adversity. And them being able to build on this at the right time, especially as we close the season and the ACC tournament comes up, and then, of course, the NCAA tournament comes right after. Like, this is the right time to be playing your best basketball. So I'm very proud of this team, honestly. This game against Duke on Sunday is going to be a real big one. If you're able to come out, please show out, especially for the seniors. You know, shout out to the seniors who will be playing their last game at the Tucker Center. It's going to be hard. Like, you know, I love and hate senior day at the same time, because it's just hard to say goodbye. Like, even I remember last year when I went to the senior day game against Clemson, and I had to see Sarah Bajetti say goodbye, man. It was just hard to watch, man, because I love Sarah Bajetti. And, you know, I'm definitely happy to see what she's able to do now. But just watching the seniors say goodbye as if their last home game, you know, in college, is just tough to watch. But look, I mean, it's going to be, even aside from that, it's going to be a really fun match. I mean, Duke is one of the top 15 teams in the country. We've now won 4 in a row now, and we're looking to close the season off on a high note. So that's going to be a fun one, man. But overall, great win against Notre Dame. Great win, man, especially when there was a lot of doubters heading into this matchup that didn't believe that we would win. We definitely answered the call, and this is something that this team will definitely build upon moving forward. All right. Let's keep this thing on the road, you know, fresh off of talking about the women's basketball team. Now let's talk about the men's basketball team, because this is a very interesting time for your Florida State men's basketball team. There are three games remaining, like I mentioned earlier in the show. We have Duke, which is tonight. We have Virginia, which is this upcoming Tuesday. And then we have SMU, which is next Saturday, to close out the season. I feel like the agenda should still be simple. We have to close this year out on the right note, especially to build some momentum right before the ACC tournament. You know, I was looking at an updated bracket for the ACC tournament. So if the season were to end today, we will be playing Notre Dame in the quarterfinals. I think we have a chance. Of course we beat Notre Dame whenever they came out here to Tallahassee, but I haven't really had a chance to really watch Notre Dame even outside of that matchup, honestly. So if that is the matchup that does take place, because this is all still to be decided, because none of this is official. But if it is Notre Dame that we do play in the quarterfinals, I would definitely do my homework. But at the end of the day, I feel like we should still have the advantage with us. We beat them whenever they did come to Tallahassee. So that would be a big opportunity for us, you know, to be able to grab a win, especially with a deep ACC team, if you ask me. But we still have a lot to build on, because your Florida State Seminoles have lost their past two games. They lost last weekend against Louisville, and then, of course, lost this past Monday against North Carolina at home. Two really rough losses. Give credit to both of these teams. Louisville is one of the best teams in the ACC, and I got to give them credit, too, because everybody was telling me that Louisville is going to be a tough contender in the ACC leading up to this year. I'm not going to say I didn't believe them, but I just had to see for myself, and they've been playing exceptional basketball. I mean, they play at a very fast pace. They move the ball really well. They have really great shooters on the perimeter, and that was pretty much how they beat us, not even in just this past matchup last weekend, but even in the matchup when they came to Tallahassee in December. Like, they were just able to beat us in so many ways, and I feel like the defense was just never able to recover, honestly. And then you can even dive into the North Carolina game as well. North Carolina, I get it. They're not as strong as what they were last year. Let's just call it what it is. But they're still one of the more respected teams in the ACC, just because, in my opinion, of their guard play, honestly. They have really great guard play, and it definitely showed in this matchup when they came to Tallahassee. like I said, you know, they were able to get that win 96 to 85. One of the biggest concerns to me when it comes to this team right now is rebounding. So our rebounding average this season is 34.7. Over the past two games, we're only averaging 24. So that's about 10 rebounds less than what we averaged during the season. And in the North Carolina matchup, we got our rebound at 35 to 21. Now I get it. I know that Malik Ewing ended up leaving the game with injury, so that definitely played a role. But we still have Taylor Bobon. We still have Alir Malouk. We still have Jameer Watkins. We still have guys like Christian Udoh. We still have guys who can rebound at a high level. So I get it. You know, our starting center did end up leaving the game early, but to get our rebound at 35 to 21 in that matchup, like that, like let's just be real. Rebounding plays a role if you win games, honestly. And if you're getting rebounded or if you're getting out rebounded by 14 in the matchup, more than likely you're going to lose. Like I've never seen a team get out rebounded by double digits and still found a way to win. I mean, it may have happened, but it doesn't happen all the time. Let's just call it what it is. But I mean, like when you look at it from a number standpoint, like when you look at the box score, you can't even really say this was a bad game for Florida State. I mean, as crazy as it is, like we still shot around 53, 54% from the field per se. North Carolina shot 55% from the floor. So when you look at the offense, like both offenses were very efficient, honestly. I mean, both of them had really high scoring first halves. And then, of course, like I said, I mean, you know, the final score was 96 to 85. So when you look at it from a number standpoint, it wasn't bad, but I do feel like Florida State was not able to really defend the perimeter the way that they should have. Because I mean, like I said, I mean, North Carolina's guard play played exceptional in this matchup. RJ Davis, Elliott Cadeau, and Seth Trimble combined for 47 points in this matchup, and they were just doing a little bit of everything. You know, scoring on the perimeter, being able to, you know, create opportunities around the rim. Like they were pretty much doing everything to break down Florida State's defense, and there was just no way to recover, honestly. Give credit to the Noles. They found a way to climb back into the game, especially after being down. I think they were down by like 14, 15 points like early in the second half, and they were able to find a way to get back into the game thanks to guys like Jameer Watkins, thanks to guys like even Jerry Dang, who came in and also provided a spark from the perimeter. But it, you know, I mean, like it was just way too little too late, honestly. North Carolina, they had the momentum on their side. They had our call, and that's why they came out with the win, honestly, man. I mean, it's just unfortunate because this could have been our get back, because this is the same team that technically beat us three times, if you want to count two in the regular season last year. And then, of course, last year in the ACC tournament, knocking us out in the second round. So this could have been a revenge performance, but unfortunately it wasn't. Give credit to North Carolina. They played an exceptional all around game, and they definitely deserve this win. So, like I said, the team is now losers of two in a row. We got to close the season out strong. We got to close the season out strong, and it's not going to get any easier, man. I mean, we played Duke tonight. Duke is one of the top teams in the country. I'm gonna just call it what it is. I love Duke. I love watching that team play. It's not even just Cooper Flagg. They have a tremendous supporting cast on that team, and people don't. I don't know if people realize, but Duke is a very deep team, and it's like they can go at least like 10 deep, honestly, and still find a way to beat you. And their top players don't even really have to have the best performance. I'm not gonna say that they don't have to have a bad performance for them to win, but they don't even have to have the best performance for them to still find a way to dominate. Like even when I watched them, I think it was a week ago when they played against Illinois, they just dominated. Like I think they won like 110 to 67. I can't remember the exact score, but they just dominated, honestly. And this is going to be a tough matchup for Florida State, not only because they're playing against one of the top teams in the country, but you're going into their home floor. Everybody who knows about college basketball knows that playing at Cameron Indoor Stadium is one of the toughest places to play for any road team. And it's funny because now with me thinking about this, I remember before the season, Jameer Watkins had an interview and he was talking about one of the games that he was excited about was this matchup against Duke playing at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Now, look, I've never actually been to Cameron Indoor. That's definitely on my bucket list. I would love to go one day. I want to go next year. I got to make an effort to go next year. But just watching Duke games on TV, Duke home games on TV in particular, you feel the electricity of that building from the players to the coaches to the fans. Like, you just feel that electricity even just watching on your TV screen. So I can only imagine what it's like actually playing in that environment and expected, especially as the road team, expected to come out with a win, especially when you look at Duke. Like, Duke is Duke, man. Like, Duke is a blue blood. They're one of the more storied programs in the country. Every year, they're in contention. They recruit very well. They always grab some of the top players in the country. They're always going to be in contention for a national championship or even just, being able to be NCAA tournament eligible. So this is going to be a tough test for Florida State. Do I believe that they can answer the call? Of course they do. Of course I do. But they gotta play together. They gotta play together. They gotta rebound a basketball. They have to find quality shots on offense because Duke is also a really good defensive team. So ball movement is like that should be at like the top of the list when it comes to like keys to the game is ball movement. Like, we have to move the ball. We have to find quality shots. We have to be able to feed open players. We have to be able to find the hot hand. Like, so this is going to be a big matchup. And this is also a matchup where I'm looking at our top two guys, Malik Ewing and Jameer Watkins, to show up and play at a high level. They've been leading us all season long. Their chemistry is like none other. This is the matchup in particular where both of them have to play at their best. I'm assuming that Malik will play. I know that he went out with the injury, but as far as what I've heard, it hasn't been too bad. So maybe he will be available, especially considering that our last game was on Monday. So that's been about 4 days to rest and recover. So maybe he will be available in this matchup, which I am expecting him to be available. But if he is available, I definitely need his best performance. I need Jameer Watkins' best performance. Like, these are games where your star players have to show up. Like, especially playing at Cameron Indoor Stadium, you want to have your best game. So I'm looking at our two stars to be able to lead the way. And on top of that, just a great all-around team effort if they're even going to have a chance. Now, look, I don't even have to look at the odds. I'm sure that Duke is by far the favorite. They're probably the favorite by maybe like 15 plus points. But this is our chance. This is our chance to shock the world. And if they can get some good luck from the women's team, especially with the women's team beating Notre Dame, which was a number three team in the country, let's hope that luck translates to the men's side of things, as they go on the road to face Duke, and hopefully they can come out with a win, honestly. Guys, I want you to keep your hopes up because I know a lot of y'all are probably like, oh, this is a wash, we're done. And look, Duke definitely has a high chance of winning. I'm not doubting that at all. Like I said, I mean, Duke, I'm gonna just call it what it is. I think Duke, I might pick them to win the national championship this year. Just call it what it is. I just think that they are that good. They got the right roster, they got the right coach, and I know that there's a lot of other tough teams in the country. I know that Auburn has been locked in as like the number one team in the country. I know that teams like Tennessee has been really well, has been playing really well. And then even of course other teams as well across the country. But I just think Duke has the best all-around team, if you ask me. But this is also a chance for us to come together and find a way to come out on top by any means necessary. So this is going to be a fun matchup, honestly. I'm definitely locked in for this matchup. And then, of course, after this match, I'm going to be watching the fight as well. But I'm 100% locked in on this matchup tonight against Duke. And let's see how this game turns out. All right. And to close out this show, I just want to once again highlight Malik Beasley of the Detroit Pistons, former Florida State Seminole Malik Beasley, who is once again on a tear, honestly. I mean, if for those who have been, I mean, for those who are NBA fans, you know that the Detroit Pistons are probably one of the biggest stories in the league this season, especially with everything that took place last year. They lost like 28, 29 in a row, I believe. And for them to now be in playoff contention now is just amazing to see, honestly. I mean, obviously, the biggest highlight of that team has been Cade Cunningham, and I've talked about Cade Cunningham when I talked about Michael Beasley a couple episodes ago. But Cade Cunningham's having an MVP type season, honestly. And it's crazy to see how much he has grown, throughout his time, in the NBA. Like, I remember just watching him for the first time in Mont Verde and just watching just how well he was just able to be so in control of everything offensively. And he's just grown and capitalized off of that, even during his college, during his 1 year at Oklahoma State, and then even over these past 4 or 5 years with him being in Detroit. Like, it's safe to say that the Pistons did right, man, by electing him, man, with their lottery pick. He's by far, he's proven that he's their franchise player, and I think, I want to say he's like 22, 23 years old still, so a lot of years ahead of him, honestly. Hasn't even hit his prime yet, so if you're a Pistons fan and you're listening to this, I know for a fact that you guys are in store for a great future, honestly, because as long as Cade is leading the way, the future is bright in Detroit, man. So just be on the lookout. But Malik Beasley has definitely been a crucial role, you know, in their success, especially after this past game when they played against the defending champion Boston Celtics, had 26 points in this matchup, 10 of 15 from the field. It's safe to say, I mean, I've talked about this too, like, Malik Beasley is one of the best pure shooters in the NBA, honestly. Like, just like when you look at his movement, when you look at how he elevates on a shot, especially off the catch and shoot, it's just really fun to watch, man. And his shot is just so pure. Like, his mechanics are nice. You know, his form is beautiful. Like, it's just so much. Like, it's so much to rave about when it comes to Malik Beasley, you know, shooting the basketball. And I mean, even the numbers say it. I mean, I think he's shot 40%+ from three in at least like majority of his career, honestly. So, and he's proven it on like so many other teams well before the trade. I mean, during his time with the Lakers, during his time with the Timberwolves, even with the Milwaukee Bucks as well. So Malik Beasley and his veteran role on this team, especially as one of their go-to shooters from the perimeter, has been a huge role this season for Detroit, honestly. And he's had a stellar season this year, arguably one of his best seasons, if not his best season this year. And he's going to play a crucial role with this team down the stretch, especially as we're about to head into March and the NBA playoffs are going to start just about a month from now. So they're going to need Malik Beasley to continue his hot shooting, especially as the season does wind down, because especially with the position that this team is in, the Pistons per se, with the position that they're in, as far as trying to secure a spot in the playoffs, like, they're going to need him more than ever, honestly. Because I mean, this is still a very young team, and you know, they're having success, but then they're also showing growing pains at the same time, which is expected with a young team. But Malik Beasley being on the team as one of the veterans of the team has just really been, it's just been really good for them. So shout out to Malik Beasley, man. A shout out to the Detroit Pistons on all the success that they've had this year. But that's gonna wrap up this episode, you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and thank you guys so much for staying patient with me, man. I know that you guys have been eager for an episode. Like I said, I know it's been a little over 2 weeks since the last episode, but like I said, you know, I had some technical difficulties, had to get some new equipment. Luckily, I got it, and now we are back on the road. Trust me, more episodes will be coming soon, especially with the ACC tournament right around the corner, and then of course the NCAA tournament as well right around the corner as well. So trust me, more content, more episodes. So please be in tune, man. And y'all already know I'm not going to stop even during the offseason too. You guys always know I'll be in tune during the offseason, especially with the team, you know, with different transactions that go on as far as transfers, as far as, you know, like new freshmen coming in. You guys know I'm going to always keep you guys in the loop, man. So trust me, a lot more to come in the near future, man. And of course, more guests too. So please be on the lookout, but make sure to follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at NickAndreATR. Make sure to check out my articles covering Florida State on ChopChat.com. Shout out to the whole team there. And make sure to subscribe anywhere you listen, whether it's Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope that you guys have a great rest of your day, and hope that you guys have a great weekend.